Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic with you. Every Monday at 10:30, we say hello to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick. Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow is the show. 2 to 5 weekdays on 94.9 The Fan. Hutton, the draft is come and gone. We made it. And now there's nothing to talk about with the Titans. What's up?
Good morning, guys. Good morning. Yeah, there's not much to talk about except for another draft where, I mean, we're contemplating how many starts we're going to get out of this draft class. And, you know, I felt the same way about last year's draft class. So buckle up. Here we go.
So, okay, before I ask you the big question when it comes to the Titans and this team, the draft class overall, 6 picks all on offense. First time that they've done that as a franchise. How do you feel about it all overall?
Well, I don't think there's any question that they have improved on offense. Just by offensive line alone, if we step back and look at where they were versus where they are now up front, what they have done is said, we're not going to let the Dennis Daly crap happen again in 2023. And that was, outside of Jeffrey Simmons, that was priority number one of the offseason. And I can't argue with that because they did not have an identity on offense last year because of the offensive line. And that remains their identity up front in the trenches, running the football. And they're going to have to do more of it right now based on the depth chart at wide receiver, Chase.
So now the big question, Will Levis is taken in the second round as the presumed quarterback of the future. In your mind, Hutton, who is starting week one for the Tennessee Titans this year?
Ryan Tannehill. As long as Ryan Tannehill wants to be the week one starter for the Tennessee Titans, because look, if you are in love with a quarterback, you draft him at number 11 and you don't let him slide to you and talk about value and then go and lie to everyone and say that he's a backup to Malik Willis on Monday. So yeah, I mean, Willis is the one quarterback I'd say who shouldn't be on the roster by week one. And Tannehill is the presumed starter because they've told us that, but also because they drafted their quarterback in the second round and they can point to and say, hey, we're going to develop him behind the scenes. And by the way, that's great news for Will Levis. You know, we've talked a lot over the last couple of months about quarterback being in play, and it absolutely was. Mm-hmm. But I mean, this team's not trading up to number 3 to go draft Will Levis. Indianapolis wants us to believe that they would have drafted Will Levis at 4 had Anthony Richardson been drafted at 3. But point being, the Titans didn't draft Will Levis at 11. They took Skoronski, and I don't argue with that pick at all. In fact, it makes sense based on the way that they want to build this offense. But you know, for the second consecutive year, they have drafted a quarterback and a running back, both backups, on day 2 of the NFL draft. And they have put, and you're right, they've put all their eggs in the basket of Will Levis and developing him because it was a big swing and a miss on Willis a year ago.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mic joins us. First off, how's Chad doing with the Will Levis pick?
Hopefully better than I am.
Okay. We'll give it to us.
I know you're a Tennessee fan here, and I think he's a good, not great quarterback. And I'm looking at this depth chart, going, how about some starters? And Levis can be a fine quarterback for the Tennessee Titans, but I wouldn't have drafted him. I would have drafted a starter at wide receiver. I would have, or a starter, period. Because this organization, regardless of general manager, drafts guys who come in and sit the bench for a while. Mm-hmm. And I just don't agree with that philosophy.
So when you look at this team right now, do you see the drafting of Will Levis as almost a signal that they're turning the page and this will be Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry's, you know, potential final year with the team because they're not getting guys right now who can be a significant addition to the team?
I think they've done that, though, out of necessity more than plan. They have – I'll use Rand Carthon's words. They're rolling the dice and playing the board with this. But they – so this all changes hypothetically again, this all changes if Houston doesn't draft C.J. Stroud. It's pretty clear who they would trade up and draft at three there. This all changes if Aaron Rodgers comes out of his darkness retreat and says, I'm retired. Because I think the Jets would pick up the phone and call the Titans about Ryan Tannehill. So the situation, I think, dictated what they wanted to do. And again, the where they picked Will Levis tells us they're not in love with the guy. Because if they were, they draft him at pick 11. And instead, it's 33. Now, they do trade up and get him. Mm-hmm. But he was so high on their board there compared to where they were at 11. And every team is going to say they got the players that they wanted. And every team in the Titans situation, this is not a Titans-specific thing. They'd tell us the same thing. We had Peter Skoronski just ahead of the quarterback, so we took him instead of the quarterback. That's not how it works in this league. You take the quarterback if you feel like he's the guy. And they feel like the value's there for Will Levis, but the value's not there for, at least for me, for this team in 2023. And the value is to start Ryan Tannehill, to play Derrick Henry, and, you know, for let's all just also just continue the trend here. They've drafted guys who they hope will become eventual starters. Mm-hmm. They've also drafted guys in this class with injury history. The third round running back is one to watch too, with Spears, where the reports are that some teams said that his career would not outlast his contract, according to Ian Rappaport. So, I mean, again, it's a roll of the dice playing the board.
That was a line that we heard a couple times this weekend.
It's a T-shirt. I told Koharski he needs to make a T-shirt of this.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike joins us right now. Jonathan, another question regarding the quarterback. Do you feel like Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon's job security will be tied to Will Levis's success?
I think that's a great question. Mm-hmm. Things can change quite a bit over the course of a trade or a demand. Mm-hmm. Look, I would say that what Vrabel has done is he has hitched his wagon to Will Levis, mm-hmm. for sure. This is just looking at the draft history, who stayed, who went, and, you know, who's signing off on things now. If let's just be just bare bones it here for a moment. If John Robinson's fired for not building up depth of a roster, and the picks are as valuable as they say they are, they had six picks this year, and the second selection they're trading up and moving to get Will Levis to back up Ryan Tannehill day one. And there's a lot of time between now and the season, but to back up Ryan Tannehill day one, because I'm just going to use what they've told us in the presser. If it was John Robinson who took the fall for the depth of the roster in December, now all they've told us is it is a collaborative effort, collaboration. All of it is a joint effort. Well, that means that Vrabel's all in on Levis as much as Rand Carthon is. And Carthon, I mean, typically, when the GM comes in, you inherit the quarterback, you get a change, and then you get a change again to mix it up. If you go through free agency or you try to build depth behind that position and then insert that guy in, and you hit lightning in a bottle. I don't blame this team for drafting a quarterback. I just don't understand, if you're going to invest in the guy, why not draft the starter at 11 instead of the backup in the second round? Because the backup doesn't help this football team immediately, like the starter would, where you get the clock going. And that's what's going to happen throughout the AFC South, except in Tennessee.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. So I think we're still learning who Rand Carthon is, both as a person and obviously as a general manager. You know, we've been used to Floyd Reese, John Robinson. You know what cloth they were cut from. They were, you knew what you were getting when they talked to you. And I mean, every GM is going to have they talk a lot and then they don't say anything because they're keeping their cards close to the vest. But Rand comes across as different. I mean, he's got a positive attitude. He wants everybody to be positive. And I respect that. But you know how this business works. It doesn't – you're going to have Paul Koharski asking you the tough questions that you don't want to answer, but he's doing his job and it's a part of it. So what is kind of your evaluation of Rand Carthon as he's continuing to learn on the job?
So this is one of those deals where – I don't know everything that goes on behind the scenes like everyone else. And by the way, I wasn't at the draft coverage this year at over at St. Thomas Sports Park. So let me also mention that. But and I watched and listened to a lot of coverage. You guys did a great job, by the way, at 102.5. And then I also listened to the press conferences. So the Carthon draft year one for me will be described as best available player, where there is a glaring need at wide receiver. And I go back to my six picks. Unless you're going to trade back and try to acquire more draft capital, I don't know why you don't select the player of need earlier than when they did. And I understand, like, they where they have their board, they're always looking left, which is where they have their offensive board ranked, their linear board, and their horizontal board. And everything pointed to a position outside of wide receiver. And now it is, I mean, it's really bad on the depth chart. So, if you don't like the value of the receiver at in the third round, and while Spears may turn out to be, you know, the guy, they've also drafted a third down back behind Derrick Henry instead of trading back and getting into that area of the draft where they felt like the value would be there for the wide receiver. And I think that's the only thing I take away from the negative point of view, is they left with a seventh round wideout when the top 100, the consensus was, and the consensus isn't always correct, but the draft did fall this way. The top 100 players were filled with pass rushers, offensive tackles, and wide receivers. And while we saw a ton of quarterbacks drafted, there are wide receivers that are going to be making some plays for teams the Titans let slip by because of developmental players behind veterans on their roster. If the plan is to go with Tannehill and Henry, I don't know why you don't supplement things and put it next and put a player next to Treylon Burks, who's got to be the guy now. That's the next branch on the tree of the stories of this draft. Treylon Burks is not only the number one, he's got to be. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He is the number one receiver, and they have possession guys around him. So when the game's on the line, Burks is getting the football. And if it's not him, it's someone out of the backfield. And or Chigakonkwo, who they're saying is going to really progress, and they're really going to, you know, ramp up when it comes to production.
Well, I hope so, because they need that. So we will see. We will see for sure. Hutton, appreciate it as always. And by the way, Rand Carthon is going to join Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace today at noon. So looking forward to that conversation. But thanks as always for joining us here today. We'll talk to you next Monday.
I always enjoy this. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
Jonathan Hutton from OutKick. Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow is the show 2 to 5 weekdays on 94.9 The Fan. And yes, Rand Carthon at noon today. They'll have a lot of draft reaction. But coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, some big upsets in the NHL. We will discuss that in the NBA playoffs. The end has come for the Memphis Grizzlies. That's coming up here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.